Welcome to God and Country Radio, a program that discusses current political, social, prophetic events in the light of Scripture. I'm your Bible teacher, Pastor Brad Winship, pastor of Harbor Bible Church in Lawrence Harbor, New Jersey. Last week, I discussed the continual hysteria over COVID-19 and the mask and vaccine mandates. This week, as I promised, I'd like to discuss COVID conspiracy theories. They range from extremes such as there's no such thing as COVID to more reasonable positions like this is a government overreaction, this is politicians jumping on a crisis for political gain. And it's a challenge for Christians to wade through all the information to arrive at some sound conclusions. You ask, what difference does it make? Why is there a need to know? Well, we ought not to be naive. We ought to know when a conspiracy is at hand. We should discern between good and evil. Jesus told us to discern the signs of the times. And Proverbs 25, the glory of a king is to search out a matter. And I'm sure there's a Christian consensus that God's people have a civic responsibility to address these things. It's loving your neighbor. It's Ephesians chapter 5, exposing the hidden deeds of darkness. But before we get into specifics of the COVID-19 situation, I have some preliminaries to address so that we just have an overall understanding of conspiracy theories. It seems as though the driving motivation is to provide an explanation as to why people are doing what they're doing, especially when what is being done is morally evil or irrational. You see the government wasting millions on boondoggle projects, and you have to come to the conclusion that someone's pocket is being lined, because there's no rational explanation for it otherwise. Conspiracy theories are a way to further explain and indict bad behavior. They are doing such and such because, and you fill in the blank. It's a way to indict bad policy. For example, Tucker Carlson did a segment a couple weeks ago about how politicians are reacting to COVID, and his take was that political power is their driving motive. They rode COVID all the way to the White House. Quote, they can't part with the enormous, unprecedented levels of power they have amassed over the last year. So they're going to keep ordering you around regardless of the science. Senator Rand Paul, Senator Ted Cruz, and other legislators have said much of the same thing about Democrat COVID policy. The conservative commentator Eric Erickson put out a piece last week entitled, "It Was Only Ever About Power." Is that a fair analysis? Now, those in support of vaccine mandates, lockdowns, masking, claim that their opponents are science deniers. They are the ones operating on fear and ignorance and a desire for power. Remember, Hillary Clinton used to say that there was this vast right-wing conspiracy. Now, my point here is not who is right and who is wrong, but to consider the nature of these charges, which are used to explain your opponent's behavior and to further indict. Let's look at a few scriptural examples of the wicked indicting the righteous, such as when David went to bring food to his brothers while they were fighting the Philistines. David's brothers were jealous of David, so they falsely accused his motives for coming. 1 Samuel 17:12. David's older brother said, I know your insolence and the wickedness of your heart, for you have come down in order to see the battle. He was accusing David of pride, of curiosity seeking. Now, how did he know David's motives? He didn't, but he was sure he could connect the dots. There are a lot of people who believe that they are some type of Sherlock Holmes, that they have this ability to read people. And often it's the superimposing of one's own motives. That's why I would do such and such, and so you're probably doing this for the same reason. Most accusations are actually sinful falsehood and gossip. Another example, Jeremiah 37, verse 13. When Jeremiah left Jerusalem, the leaders of the city accused Jeremiah of going out secretly to conspire with the Babylonians. Because apart from getting something from the Babylonians, they couldn't imagine any other reason why Jeremiah would prophesy that Jerusalem would fall to Babylon. Just like the left accuses Christians of opposing homosexuality and transgenderism out of fear, ignorance, and homophobia. Because they don't actually believe there is a law from God, so they have to provide some other explanation as to why Christians are opposed to homosexuality. And here we learn another lesson about conspiracy theories and false accusation. It's a way in which people don't have to deal with the moral issue itself, because they don't want to argue on that plane. So they just indict people's motives. And that doesn't require any proof, just the force and the emotion of your accusation. Realize that even in accusations coming from the political right against the political left, the accusations that the motive is either power or money are the poorest arguments. That these people may have evil motives may be true, and it's likely true if they're doing evil, but it's better to deal with the intrinsic rightness or wrongness of the issue at hand. In socialism, the politician may want power for himself, but the argument needs to be on the intrinsic evil of socialism, not on his motives. Because people can even do good things with evil motives. Motives alone doesn't make the thing itself evil. So just indicting the motives of the CDC or Fauci is really not a good argument against their policy. And it really doesn't even matter if they have a money motive, because many good things are done with a desire to provide for one's own family. And it doesn't even matter if they conspire together behind closed doors, because many good things are done with planning. And when you indict your opponent's motives, you don't win anyone to your side. You only empower your opponents because they can easily discount your accusations and feel victimized. Because they actually believe they do what they do to help people. And of course, as a fringe benefit, they are helped. They feel more useful. They feel more important. And they unconsciously judge the rightness of their actions by how much it helps them politically. For surely, if something helps them to achieve power, it must also be the right thing to do for others. And so, when the right accuses the left of doing what they do for love of power, the left can easily say, no, we're just trying to help people. We're being civil servants. If we're doing these things out of love for power, why do you run for office? The argument is a no-win situation. But when you indict the morality of the policy itself, then your opponents have to deal with the morality of their actions. They have to argue for the policy itself. And this they would rather not do. They would rather have you accuse their motives. So, one of the errors in all of these conspiracy theories is accusations against motives and character without any proof. I hope I'm not losing you in all this. Let's get back to some other examples of the wicked indicting the motives of the righteous. In Isaiah chapter 8, the people are accusing the prophet Isaiah of being in a conspiracy with Assyria against the nation of Israel. Isaiah chapter 8, verse 12. You are not to say it is a conspiracy in regard to all that this people call a conspiracy, and you're not to fear what they fear or be in dread of it. Isaiah was opposed to Israel seeking help from foreign nations, and that was contrary to the policy of the administration. Some therefore assumed that Isaiah was working with Israel's enemies, the Assyrians. But it's interesting that they accuse the prophet of being in a conspiracy against the people. And so we see false conspiracy theories for ideological reasons. like the false conspiracy theory that President Trump was in collusion with the Russians, or that President Obama was an Islamic plant. And then there's the biblical example of the governor Festus, accusing Paul of having gone insane. Acts chapter 26, verse 24. It was the only explanation he could provide for Paul's theology, because he didn't want to deal with the issue itself. And there are just many examples in Scripture of the wicked plotting against the righteous and making false accusations against them. But the great example is that of Jesus. Matthew 12, 24, the Pharisees' accusation against Jesus was, this man casts out demons by the power of Beelzebub, the ruler of demons. As if Jesus was in a plot with the devil to impersonate the Messiah. Now, on the other hand, in the Bible, there are righteous indictments against real evil conspiracies. Galatians chapter 4, verse 17. Paul warns against false teachers who are just out to get followers. Philippians chapter 1, Paul warns against some who preach Christ out of a motive of envy and strife. And Jesus said that the Pharisees were plotting to kill him. And of course, when Jesus pointed this out, the people denied that such a conspiracy existed. John chapter 7, Jesus said, "Did not Moses give you the law, and none of you carry out the law? Why do you seek to kill me?" The crowd answered, "You have a demon. Who is seeking to kill you?" Notice that the people were naive concerning what the Pharisees were up to. There was actually a plot to kill Jesus. Psalm chapter 64, verse 6. They devise injustice, saying, "We are ready with a well-conceived plot." So there really are people operating with evil motives and evil plans. But we just need to discern the situation rightly. Now, that was all by way of introduction. What about this COVID situation? How are we supposed to discern it? Is there really a control motive, a political gain motive, a population control motive? Or is this just good people trying to help other people fight COVID the best way they know how? Now, as Christians, we know that human nature is sinful. So, in approaching any crisis, we know that there's going to be many bad actors. Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 29. "This only have I found, God made man upright, but men have gone in search for many schemes." Psalm 58:3, "The wicked are estranged from the womb, those who speak lie go astray from birth." So, as I mentioned last week, a Christian worldview, given the nature of man, is to be a little suspicious in all things. There is a good profiling. Otherwise, we'll be, as it says in Ephesians chapter 4, children tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men in craftiness and deceitful scheming. Paul is saying that there are men who are tricksters and are involved in crafty, deceitful scheming. Proverbs 27:12, "The prudent man sees the evil and he hides himself. The naive proceed and pay the penalty." But where is the sin? Is it just the sin of fear, irrational fear? Or is it the sin of malice? Or is it just the sin of stupidity? On both sides of the equation. Remember Hallon's razor? Never attribute to malice that which can be adequately explained by stupidity. There may not be an agenda at all. These scientists and politicians could just be ignorant. They think they have all the solutions, but they don't. Now, of course, their ignorance has a moral element to it. Because of their hubris, they're assuming they know and can do more than they do know and can do. But their intentions may be good. But then again, the road to hell is paved with good intentions. If there is a COVID conspiracy, it could be nothing more or at least include the hubris of our leaders thinking they can do more than they can do. Where ideology and humanism, not science, rules the day. And on which side is the malice and stupidity on? I was just reading a piece by the left denouncing the anti-vaccine hysteria, but the article completely ignored that just as much, if not more, of the hysteria is coming from the pro-vaccine crowd. Each side sees the evil in human nature being on the other side of the argument. Oh, by the way, who do you think makes up the non-vaccine group? Religious or non-religious people? The media makes it appear as if these religious people, with their superstition and their fears, are all against the science. They're unwilling to take the vaccines. They're unwilling to mask up. And this assumption is without any proof, but they say it because that's their worldview. But in a recent study by a progressive leftist group, they discovered as a percentage, more non-religious people are against the vaccine than religious people. 62% of evangelicals have been vaccinated, while only 47% of non-religious people. Of those who have not gotten a vaccine, 36% of evangelicals say they will likely get the vaccine, while only 31% of non-religious people. Well, regardless of what you think of evangelicals participating in the vaccinations, the survey shows that it is not an anti-science, faith-religious issue. The secularists don't trust government more than the evangelicals don't trust government. Maybe it takes one to know one. And this is really no surprise to me because the anti-vaccine movement in New Jersey that has been going on for the last 10 years in regard to the vaccination of your children is not populated with people on the right politically, but people on the political left. Well, one thing is for sure. We can't broad brush the motives and the reasons behind the various COVID-19 responses. It's a mixture of motives in various degrees and a mixture of various opinions as to what should be the government's right course of action. Let's just break the pro-vaccine, pro-mask, pro-mandate group down into four different groups. First, the public. Those who are for the lockdowns and the vaccine mandates. The second group, the politician, the civic leaders. Third, the medical establishment. Fourth, the media. And each group may have its own reasons for its opinions. Much of the public may be motivated out of fear and safety concerns, maybe even a socialist mindset. If I need to get the vaccine, I want you to be forced to get the vaccine, otherwise it's not fair. Or if you don't mask up and get the vaccine, you're threatening my health. You know, the public could be operating on scientific ignorance. Look at the global warming hysteria. The politicians, they may be motivated by a desire to help people or a desire to avoid the political backlash of being accused of not doing enough. Or the politicians may enjoy the sense of being a savior. They want to feel useful in what is often a useless government job. And this is just another description of the control, parental motives in politicians. And then there's the medical establishment. They also may be motivated by fame or just to be useful. Finally, what they spent their life working on can have some benefit, and they don't want to give that up. And the money motive is there. The government was paying these pharmaceutical companies $40 a shot. The Biden administration upped it to $80. What better thing could a business ask for? And then there's the media, including the social media, Facebook, Google, Twitter. They are people who also want to feel important and useful. And a crisis sells papers, or rather sells clicks. And the media always likes for there to be a crisis. There was a story I read recently about some reporters who were told by upper management to focus on COVID stories, even though they realize it's just being too repetitious. Management wants COVID stories front and center, maybe for some political purpose, maybe to avoid other stories. The media has many mixed motives, and it's certainly not all about the science and about helping people. So we have all of these groups with their various motivations, and I doubt that they all sat down in some smoke-filled back room and came up with a nefarious plan to make hay out of the COVID-19 situation. They were all probably working off of their own individual self-interests. But the problem is when all of these various social groups put their self-interest before truth. And that's when you get a Jeremiah chapter 5, verse 31 situation. The prophets prophesy falsely, and the priests rule on their own authority. And my people love it so, but what will you do at the end of it? It is not a conspiracy of working together. It's a conspiracy of too many people, from the citizens to the civic leaders, having a common flawed worldview that results in the whole nation adopting bad policy. So, needless to say, I don't think this is a plot by the Bilderberg Group or the Council for Foreign Relations or the UN or the World Health Organization. This is just fallen humanity doing together what fallen humanity does. And if it was just one evil group perpetrating a lie upon the American public, that would be great. That would be easy to fix. The problem is what Jeremiah experienced. My people loving it so. So, if there's a conspiracy, it's a conspiracy of human pride, bad science, irrational fear, that started the pandemic in the first place and has resulted in continual disastrous policy, as certain people use the pandemic to further their own agenda. All the evidence points to scientists in their scientific ignorance and pride playing the role of God, adding gain of function to a SARS virus. Anthony Fauci, director of the National Institute of Infectious Disease, when questioned by Rand Paul, testified before the Senate that the CDC's funding into genetically modifying viruses in Wuhan so that these viruses could go from animals into the human population is not a gain of function for the virus and therefore not illegal. Rand Paul responded, as we all would, "Sounds like gain of function to me." This is not some conspiracy theory. Scientists and big pharma have been messing around with genetically modifying viruses for quite some time. The Wuhan lab was developing bioweapons. Is this a grand conspiracy to kill people and destroy economies? Well, maybe it was an experiment on China's part or an accidental leak. But the conspiracy is the hubris of those who create the virus and the hubris of those who are reacting to the virus. Isaiah chapter 8, verse 12. "You are not to say it is a conspiracy in regard to all that the people call a conspiracy. And you are not to fear what they fear. It is the Lord of hosts whom you should regard as holy. He shall be your fear. He shall be your dread." And with that, I will end. I've left a lot of loose ends that need to be discussed. And that will be included in my video version of this program on my YouTube channel, God and Country Biblical Exposition. The website to listen to this program again or to access the other links is godandcountryradio.org. Spell it out, God and Country Radio. Thank you for listening today. Let's close in prayer. Father in heaven, help us to discern the age in which we live. Help us to judge righteous judgment for no other reason than to simply aid our work of evangelism and to bring glory to the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.